Well, it is so great to be with you once again. It's never a greater joy than to be able to sing songs about God. It's no greater joy than to understand that we are a Christian, amen?
Amen.
And that as Christians, we must sing praises to God. We must come before Him in graciousness and mercy and grace. And this morning, as we come before Him in word, I am reminded of a song, and I believe we sang it last week, and I was going to read you a part of it, but I couldn't find it very fast, so I'll just put it aside. But we sang, "Shine, Jesus, shine," did we not? And that's what this message is really about this morning, is allowing the Word of God to shine. Jesus said in John chapter 8, in verse 12, as He was discussing with the Pharisees, talking about different things and different aspects of life and the Pharisees and their unbelief. And at the beginning of chapter 8, they have brought to Him an adulterous woman. And it's a whole story, an event in itself for another day. But as Jesus is dealing with this hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the young rulers as they bring this adulterous woman, really more probably trying to catch Jesus than they were her, Jesus does an amazing thing. He says in verse 7, "He that is without sin among you casts the first stone." And as Jesus continued to what I will call doodle on the ground, we're not really sure what He was doing as He was writing upon the ground. He looked up and He said to the woman in verse 10, "Woman, where are thy scorners? Has no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And that brings us to verse 12, which is not necessarily a continuation of verse 11. It's amazing how John interweaves Scripture. But probably more like that John was looking back to the teachings over in verse 7, in chapter 7, excuse me. As Jesus was talking with the Pharisees and He makes this statement, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so this morning as we look at this third of the I Am's, we talked about Jesus in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, "I am the Messiah." Last week we looked in John chapter 6 when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And this morning we want to look at Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." What does that mean? How does that come into play for us? What does that tell us about Jesus Christ? And this morning, I want you to think of a few things as we go through this. I want you to have in your mind some thoughts that you can apply to this Scripture. And so one of the first things I want you to think about is, what is darkness? Jesus says in this verse right here that you shall not walk in darkness. What is darkness? And along with what is darkness, you must ask yourself, what is light? Well, that seems to be pretty obvious for most of us. We can generally figure that out. Darkness is when it's dark outside and there's no light. And light is like right now, it's light, right? And that's kind of the way we think about it. And well, what does that really mean for us though? Because we must remember that Jesus is not talking about this in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. I would ask you, how do you function in the dark? Most of us don't function very well in the dark, do we? I always like to use illustrations that I know anything about, and most of the time they're all happen to me, and I can illustrate what happens when you don't function in the dark very well. Last night I hopped off the trailer because I wanted to go back and tell Leslie the great score of the Royals game until it was later that we won't talk about that. And as I hopped off that trailer and as I walked out of the path, I stepped in something in the dark that you could not see. Because I did not pull out my light and shine it to my path. I'm leaving that up to your imagination. I think most of you got what was going on there. Look, we don't function very well at night without some light. And the question that I want you to think on as well is, how do you function with that light? The Bible talks about the light of the world. It talks about it from the book of Genesis all the way to book of Revelation. And I want to take a few minutes this morning to read you some scriptures that talk about the light of the world. The light that is Jesus Christ. And so we're just going to read you some scriptures this morning. So listen to this. In John chapter 1, we read that already this morning, verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness hath not overcome it. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of Jesus Christ lights our path so that we can function when the darkness is around. In Psalms 118, verse 27, in the first part of that verse, it says, God is the Lord, and He has given us light. Isaiah 50, verse 10 says, Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon God. In Acts chapter 26, verses 14 through 18, we find this written by Luke. He says, And when we have fallen to the ground, I heard a voice. This is Saul recounting his conversion. He said, And saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of those things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal unto you. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among those who are sanctified by faith in me. One of my favorite passages of scripture in John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Or 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, because you have shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced our sinful, shameful, secret things, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message, but commending ourselves to every person's conscience in God's sight by an open display of the truth. But if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this age, which is the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves because of Jesus. For God, who said, Let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Or the Apostle John, as he writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. And then in Revelation chapter 21, a glorious passage of scripture that talks about the end and where we will reside. Starting at verse 22, it says, I did not see a sanctuary in it, because the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb were the sanctuary. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's glory illuminates it, and His lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. We can see that the Bible talks about the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, in many places. Maybe one of the most familiar places that we recognize about the light is in the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit moved upon the faces of the waters. And in verse 3 it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. From the beginning of time, light and darkness have been separated, and Jesus stands before the people in the temple at the time of the tabernacles of the feast and declares a mighty statement, I am the light of the world. Our great God and Father, we thank you for the time we're about to have and the time we've already had. We ask God that you will just now inspire us and encourage us, and that you will bring about your truth, and that we will see that as you are the light of the world living and residing inside of each and every one of us, it is our responsibility to allow that light to shine forth. As you so clearly illustrated, would a person take a candle and put it upon a hilltop but cover it in a bushel so that no one can see it? The answer is no, that you would stand that light on the hilltop for all to see clearly. And Lord, that's the light that we need to be, a light that shines forth into this very dark and dying world. The light, as you told Paul, that you're going to send to the Gentiles so that they can hear the light, the truth of the gospel. Lord, may we be that light. May we be that type of person. May we be one who stands up true and faithful for you, shining forth the light that you have implanted in us, because you are the light of the world. We thank you and praise you in your great precious name. Amen. As I said already, we find that Jesus is in the temple and he's in the court of the women, and at this time it's the temple of the feast or the tabernacle of the feast, and just as Jesus illustrated in about being the living water that we can drink from, that Jesus also then says at the evening time, I am the light of the world. Now you may ask yourself, why does that really matter? Jesus makes that statement. That's great. We love that. We get it in the Bible. But how does that apply to the Jews? What did they think about that? One of the things that we need to understand about the Feast of the Tabernacles is there's a lot of ritual things that take place. And so in the daytime, they do the washing. And this is why Jesus says, I am the living water. And at night, he says, I am the light of the world. Because at night, they light these candelabras that are in this court. These four large candelabras, which reminds the children of Israel of how their ancestors were guided by the pillar of fire coming out of Egypt. Matter of fact, we sometimes forget that God actually guided them with the pillar of fire until they entered the promised land. He never left them. He always gave them direction with that. And so the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Israelites remember that. And they light these large candelabras. And it's been said that at that time that those candelabras are so bright there was not a place in Jerusalem that was not illuminated by that. And while they've got this feast going on and these candelabras have been lit and the light is shining forth and the people are joyous and jubilant, Jesus says right out of the midst of that, I am, we read in verse 12, the light of the world. Me, not this, not what you see here, but me, I am the light of the world. What a powerful statement Jesus said. He didn't just leave it there, though. He said in verse 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It is amazing when you think about what that context is. Those people are there, and all of a sudden Jesus makes this statement. They get it. Remember, he uses that phrase, I am. They recognize that as being the power of God. They recognize that Jesus is now saying, I am equal to God. I am God. That's what he's saying when he says, I am the light of the world. When God came and led the children of Israel with a pillar of fire, that's what he was doing. I am the light. Here I am. I am leading you. And now Jesus is making himself equal with that. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but these people, the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all struggling with that concept. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. There are a few things that I think that we can easily take from this very one statement. reflection about Jesus' statement of, I am the light of the world. These are some things that he is saying about himself. Jesus Christ is saying, first of all, that the light of salvation he is bringing to a sin-cursed world. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, and I am bringing the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world. In John chapter 3, which we've read part of that, if you'd like to turn there, we're going to spend a moment there in John 3. Verses 16 through 21, we find Jesus illustrating that even before he gets to the statement of, I am the light of the world. He starts out in John chapter 3, verse 16 with a very familiar verse. Most all of us know it. We've memorized it from the beginning of our time in church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we love that verse, and it's a beautiful verse, but I think so many times we miss the rest of what Jesus said. Because as important as that verse is, the next few verses are just as important, if not maybe even more important. Jesus says this in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world that the world would be condemned, but that the world would be saved through him. Anyone, listen to this, because I know that sometimes we have a problem with this. Some people in certain places in society say, well, but Christianity is only for these kind of people. You hear it on the radio every now and then. Christianity is only for the dumb-minded, the weak-minded people. Listen, the Word of God says in verse 18 that Christianity, that Jesus Christ came for who? Anyone. Now, I don't know about you, but the word anyone literally means anyone. Just like Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call, whosoever, that's everybody. Go back to verse 16, for God so loved not me, not just you, but he loved the world, not a select group of people. He loved the world. But listen what happens in verse 18. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. You must come before God to be saved. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only one and only Son of God. Listen to this statement here. Listen to me very clearly. People say this, how can a loving God send people to hell? The answer to that question is right there in verse 18. In verse 17, Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to save the world. Verse 18, he says, anyone that believes on me is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is what? Condemned already. God did not send us to hell. We have chosen to go there by rejecting the saving grace and knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. God is a loving God. But he didn't send us there. We have chosen to go because we have refused to be obedient in coming to him. He says in verse 19, this then is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You know, hopefully you've never had to experience this, but living in an apartment, we've experienced this before. Did you ever flip on the light and see these little fuzzy little things just scurrying across the floor? Y'all know what I'm talking about, these little cockroaches. Yeah, they don't like the light at all. Why? Because then you can see what they're doing. They like to scurry into the corners. Rats, we could even say, are probably the same way. And, you know, in some instance, I think of that when I read this passage of Scripture. When it says, this is the judgment that light has come into the world, verse 19, and people love darkness rather than light. I look at that, and when the light of Jesus Christ came into the world, we're like, I'm going to example this for you. We are like cockroaches and rats who run to the darkness because that's where we'd rather be. Because in the darkness, you can't see why you're doing wrong stuff. You know, isn't it amazing? I go back to my illustration from last night. I can walk through a field all night long, not even worried about anything, till the one time you step in something. Then guess what? You wonder if they're everywhere. You know they are, you just don't know where they are. And so you get a light out and you shine a light, and this is why the Word of God says, thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to have the Word of God in our heart. And Jesus said here that the judgment is come into the world, that the light of the world, and people would love the darkness rather than the light, because it proves your evil deeds. For everyone, verse 20, who practices wicked things hates the light. Man, we could spend all day right here. I got five other points. I can't spend all day in this verse. Unless you want to stay for a long time. But let me say this to you. I got so many things running through my head right this moment, I'm not sure what really to say, but I'm going to say something to you. You know, many times, I may sound like a really wicked person, but I'm going to illustrate with me, because I can illustrate with you, but then you'd be mad, and so I can illustrate with me and I don't be mad with myself. But there was a time in my life after we were married and so on that some things happened, and I won't necessarily say they were wicked things, but they were things that made me mad, and I got mad with church and I got mad with God and I stopped going. And I think that there's a lot of people who look at their life, and when they do something wrong, the devil is very easy to quick to come right alongside of them and say, see, you're no longer worthy to come before God. You're no longer worthy to come into church. You're no longer worthy to come into the light. Listen to me. That's a lie from the devil to keep you from serving God to the best of your ability. You need to understand something, that when wickedness comes into our life, we should not run from it. We should not run from God, but we should run to God, because that's the only place that it can be dealt with. And when wickedness, the Bible tells us, it says, for everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoid it. We cannot hate the light and we cannot avoid it when we do something wrong. And listen to me, if you're like me, you're doing stuff wrong. If you're not like me, then I need to talk to you and figure out how you're not doing stuff wrong. I'm a human being and I fail and I do things terrible and I don't do the things the way I should. And instead of running from God, and I look back on that experience in my life, and instead of running from God, I should have stayed with God and I should have been where I needed to be. And maybe I would have done some things better off and been a little smarter in the long haul. But yet God used that to teach me something. We cannot avoid God when we do bad things in our life. And there's too many people who want to run and avoid God. Because we do not, listen, this verse may apply to you this morning, and I want you to, if you hear nothing else, listen to this verse. You may have done wicked things in your life, and you hate the light, you hate coming before God, you don't want it to be shown to you, but the fact of the matter is you need those things exposed so that you can serve God in a better fashion. Jesus came into the world to give us salvation, because the world is sin-cursed. But verse 21, but anyone who lives by truth comes to the light. See, if you refuse to come before Jesus Christ, you're not living by truth, you're living by a lie. You need to come before the light so that the works may be shown to be accomplished by God. What a powerful passage of Scripture. It's not just John 3:16. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's why He came into the world. That's why the light of salvation came into the sin-cursed world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we find that the humanity of life is difficult. And starting at verse 16, Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, and he says, from now on then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we knew known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know Him this way. Therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Listen, when we become children of God, all the bad things are gone. It doesn't mean that we do everything perfectly and that we're perfect human beings, but we now have the embodiment of Christ in us. He is the light of the world, and we must shine forth, because He came and brought salvation into a sin-cursed world. Everything is from God, who reconciles us to Himself through Christ and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ God, who has reconciled the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Listen, God doesn't hold your stuff against you. There should be a huge amen on that. Let me tell you what, if God held stuff against you, we're in a lot of trouble. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, the Bible tells us that He took upon the sins of the entire world and He nailed them to the cross and He dealt with your issues right there. He does not hold anything against you. But you need to come before Him and you need to stand in the light and let your deeds be proved and deal with them immediately, not later. He reconciled the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us. He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's the light of salvation in a sin-cursed world. The second thing that Jesus Christ does and it becomes and is when He says, I am the light of the world, is that the darkness of falsehood is dispelled by the light of truth who is Jesus Christ. The most familiar verse that we know about truth is John 14:6. I already gave it to you. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Paul illustrated this for us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 and following. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedience because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. Listen, when you dwell in darkness, you're dwelling in falseness. You're dwelling in error. You're dwelling in the negativity. You're dwelling in the wrong places. And by standing in the light of Jesus Christ, you stand in truth. And Paul is saying, look, don't stand in empty arguments. Don't become partners with these people. For you were once in that darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what maketh everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. Listen, if we want to serve God, then we have to walk in the truth of the light of the Word. The only way that you can stand against the falseness of the darkness is by walking in the truth of the light of the Word of God. The third thing is that the third thing that Jesus did when He said, I am the light of the world, is that He tells us about the darkness of ignorance and how we can have the light of wisdom in Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 and following, it says, then I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man be like who comes after the king? He will do what he has already been doing. And I realize that there is an advantage to wisdom over folly, like the advantage of light over darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I also know that one's fate comes to both of them. Solomon is writing this passage of Scripture here in Ecclesiastes, and he's using a lot of proverb-type statements here, but I want you to clearly understand something, that when we are in darkness, we are in ignorance. It amazes me how many people walk around and say, oh, you're a Christian, so you're just blindly following. That's why they say that Christianity is for the dumb-hearted, because in the dumb-minded and the stupid people, because they just blindly follow. Listen, I know people who are some of the smartest people I'll ever meet, and they're Christians. Amen. I know all of you, and if you follow Jesus Christ, you're some of the smartest people I'll ever meet. Amen. Because to follow the ways of God makes you smart. It makes you intelligent. It makes you on the high level. It has nothing to do with your IQ. It has nothing to do with the degrees on your wall. It has nothing to do with your education level. It has everything to do with you hearing the Word of God when He says, I am the light of wisdom. I will give you wisdom, and so that you can understand the ignorance and the darkness. We must have that wisdom in our life. It comes only by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He was telling us about the darkness of sin and how Jesus is the light of holiness. See, Jesus Christ is the light of salvation in the sin-cursed world, and Jesus is the light that dispels the ignorance and gives us wisdom, and Jesus is the light that delivers us out of the falsehood through truth, and Jesus Christ is the light that tells us what holiness looks like. How we can be holy in this sin-infested world. And listen, it is difficult to live by the ways of Jesus Christ in a sin-infested world. You are pressured on every side. You kids, listen to me, because you're in school and that's where a lot of the pressure comes from. And adults, we get pressure from work and from people and from friends, but I think that some of the pressure is the most greatest that we find in school today, because in school we are teaching such falsehood that it is difficult for children to stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for our kids every single day. Amen. We need to pray for every one of them that they stand in the face of that adversity, that they stand in the face of the sin of the world, that they stand in the face of the darkness of ignorance and in falsehood, that they stand strong for God. Because He is the light. That doesn't go without saying for all of us that are in the workplace and the workforce and all the places that we go and the things that we do. We are inundated by sinfulness everywhere and in every place and in every culture. Jesus Christ clearly gives us how we should live in holiness. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul says this, reading from the Holmans. He says, "I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offer the parts of yourselves as slaves to immoral impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now often offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin," and listen, without Jesus Christ, that's exactly where you were. You were indebted to Satan and to sin forever and ever. And until Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross, you had no way to get out of that. You were literally a slave to sin. And Paul says, just as you were a slave to sin, you were free from allegiance unto righteousness. For what fruit has produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. Listen, hell is not a party. You're not going to have a party when you go there. Hanging out with sinners and doing all the things that they do, drinking and smoking and immoralness and all that stuff that goes on, that doesn't bring about the light of Jesus Christ in your life whatsoever. All that does is allow people to say, "You call yourself a Christian, but you live like me. Why do I need what you have?" You have darkened the light of Christ in your soul when you do all those kind of things. And if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, then you just dig into Romans, because Paul tells it about every other chapter. You don't need to take my word for it. I won't want you to take my word for it. You get in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that when we walk in those things, then the light of Christ cannot shine out of us. And the world cannot see what we're asking them to see. But now, he says in verse 22, "But now, since you have been liberated from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and in the end is eternal life." It results in holiness. The word sanctification can be translated into holiness. It results into holiness. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Hallelujah. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their mind." In the Bible, when you see that word Gentiles, that's synonymous with sin and darkness. It's not necessarily a specific group of people. Really, the Bible has two kinds of people in it: the Jewish people and Gentiles. That's it. The Jewish people are God's people, and if we walk as the Gentiles, then we're not walking as God's people. That doesn't mean the Israelites did all the right things, because they didn't. But that's the way the Bible separates it out. Remember what Paul was told on the road to Damascus: "I'm sending you to the Gentiles, that their eyes will be opened, that they'll see the truth of the gospel of the word through the light." And so when Paul says that, he says that, "I say unto you, no longer walk as the Gentiles." What kind of life is that? Go read Romans chapter 1. Walking in depravity, walking in immorality, walking in the mind of your own mind, doing your own things your own way, rejecting the Creator, loving the creation, serving that. Then what happens is God lets you go and you just do whatever you want. And you're no longer really following or serving Him. You probably weren't even a child of His. Verse 18 of that chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul says, "They are darkness in the understanding, darkened in the understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart." You need to listen to those words. The reason you choose not to follow and serve God is because of the hardness of your heart, because of your ignorance and your disobedience. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not how God wants you to live. Assume that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupted through deceit desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then put on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in truth, righteousness, and holiness. You need to listen to those words. Every one of these things, there's a whole message in every one of these things. We don't have time to expound on everything that's in here. But I want you to hear this clearly. What Paul is telling you is, you must put off the old man. When you have accepted Jesus Christ, you've got to say no to that sin. You've got to say no to that life. And you've got to say yes to Jesus Christ, yes to the Word of God, yes to what He wants you to do. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you'll always do what God wants you to do, because the fact of the matter is, I'm a living example that that's not true. You may be too. Paul is giving his actions. We must put it away, get it out of the sight, and get over here and do what God wants us to do. Amen? Paul tells them in 1 Thessalonians the same thing. To live their life in holiness. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." The darkness of sin. Jesus Christ came the light of holiness. Number 5, the darkness of death. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," He says that darkness of death is now quenched in the light of life. Our focal passage, John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me." The word "follow" here talks about what action we need to have with Jesus Christ. And in the Greek, the phrasing, the way this word is placed here, is not just a typical of, "Hey, let's play follow the leader, and when the leader doesn't go where I want to, I do what I want to." That's not what that's kind of follow. This is a constant, continuous, repeated action that we are going to follow one person only, and that person is Jesus Christ. It's not just a one time and we can forget it. How many of you played Duck, Duck, Goose? How many of you played Follow the Leader? Are you still playing Follow the Leader? No. Unless you're following Jesus Christ. Because He is the leader. I'm not your leader, by the way. Jesus Christ is the leader. He's just using me to help you, and He's using you to help me. And we're walking along the path together because Jesus Christ is the leader. He said, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Follow me." You must continually follow Jesus Christ. And He says, "You will not walk in darkness." Look, He says, "But he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So you need to ask yourself this question. I asked you at the beginning, what is darkness? What is light? How do you function in the darkness? There's a good place to ask that question again. How do you function in the darkness? Because if you are not following Jesus Christ, guess what you're doing? You're functioning in the darkness. Just thought I'd mention that to you. "Well, but you know, Pastor, I come to church once in a while." Yeah, but that, Jesus don't care about that. "Well, you know, once in a while I put some money in the offering plate." Yeah, Jesus don't care about that neither. Well, but once in a while, you know what Jesus cares about is the condition of your heart. In the psalmist, it says, hey, it's a contrite, broken heart that God desires to have. It's not your offerings. It's not your sacrifices. It's none of those things. He desires to have your heart, your obedience, your allegiance to Him. And when you do that, then all the other things will fall into place. But so many times as Christians, we have tried to do it all the other way. We try to do church first. We try to do tithing. We try to do witnessing. We try to not drink. We try not to do this. We try not to do that. The problem is our heart's in the wrong place. And we wonder why we fail at all those things. That your heart's in the wrong place. You're not truly following Jesus Christ, and therefore you're still walking in the darkness. Oh, you have Him. But just as Paul said, you've built up calluses on your heart. You've allowed the light to be dimmed. You've put a shroud over it for some reason. Jesus said, if you will walk in the light, if you will follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Remember what he said in chapter 3 of John. If you walk in the darkness, you condemn yourself. It is so simple, folks. It is so simple. So many times in society today, we want to make everything difficult. I want you to understand this one thing, that the salvation of Jesus Christ is a simple process. It's you saying, I screwed up. Jesus, I need you. Well, but where's all... No, God needs you to come broken before Him. He can read the brokenness in your heart. He can read the brokenness in just a few words. You don't need a lot of flowery words. You don't need all of those things. You don't need to do all great and mighty things. What God wants to see is the brokenness in your life. And when He sees the brokenness in your life, then He knows you're following Him. And guess what? You will not be walking in the darkness. And people will see that. And they'll desire that and they'll want that. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but. I love those buts. Most of the time in the Bible, they bring some good things. Sometimes they bring bad things, but they bring something. And here it brings a good thing, but shall have the light of life. I'll paraphrase that for you. Shall have eternal life if you will walk in the light of the Father. You must walk in the light. The light gives you life. The light removes the darkness. The light gives salvation. The light gives truth. The light gives wisdom. The light gives holiness. The light gives eternal life. Jesus Christ alone brings the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world. To the darkness of falsehood, He is the light of truth. And to the darkness of ignorance, He is the light of wisdom. And to the darkness of sin, He is the light of holiness. And to the darkness of sorrow, He is the light of joy. And to the darkness of death, He is the light of life. Have you opened your eyes to see His truth? Because if you keep your eyes shut, you can't see the light. If you close your eyes right now, I know your eyelids are thin, and you say, well, I see some residual light, but in reality, all you see is darkness. Will you open your eyes to Christ and say, Jesus, I need you in my life? Not in a superficial fashion, but in a true, hard, believing fashion. A follower of Christ who says, I am going to turn from my wickedness to your righteousness. Are you letting Him shine forth out of your life? Are you shining to other people about who Jesus is? I'll give you this quick illustration about that. You may never have seen one, but I believe you all understand what they are. And that's a lighthouse. And a lighthouse is not just stuck anywhere. A lighthouse serves a purpose. A lighthouse is designed to warn mariners, ships, people that are on the water, that there is danger close. And a lighthouse is generally stuck in that dangerous position. And somebody is called to man that lighthouse. And that light shines with a huge beam out into the water so people can know, I need to stay away from that spot. And if the person that is manning the lighthouse, back in the early days, those lights were run by candles and kerosene, and you had to keep filling them up. And now today, they're run by electricity, and most they're not manned. But in the old days, that's the way they were. And if you forgot to go fill it, You know what happened? The light would get dimmer and dimmer until the light would eventually go out. And when the light went out, you know what happened to people on the water? They would crash into those rocks and die. Because the light did not shine to give the warning that it needed to give. And the light of Jesus Christ in our life is the same way. He is given the ultimate power. That light will never go out, but we sure dim it a lot. And our call is to stand as the beacon on the shores of disaster, saying, "This is the safety place. Come to the light and you'll be safe. Follow the path, you'll be safe. Jesus is the light shining out. Are you letting Him shine out of your life, or have you covered it over with something? Maybe you've let it go totally out of your life somehow. You just totally built calluses all over that thing. Jesus doesn't leave you. Once saved, always saved. Once you've accepted Christ in your life, you're a Christian. But how you live your life dictates how that light is being shown out. And the less you live your life for Christ, the more you're covering it over. And the more you're callousing it up. And I'm going to be even so bold as to say that if you continue to live a life like that, you may not even have ever accepted Christ nor had the light in you to start with. And so I want you to think about this. In that statement that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Are you walking in darkness? Do you have the light of life in you? Are you following Christ so that you can stay out of the darkness? Because let me tell you, when you walk in the darkness, squishy things will happen. Are you walking in the darkness, or are you walking in the light of Christ? Our great God and Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us this morning. We thank You that You did come and You are the light of the world. Lord, I know where we each are at this moment, sitting here listening and hearing. But You know internally where we all are. Lord, may You just break us before You now. Help us to be honest in answering the question, where are we in our walk with You? Where are we? Are we walking in darkness, or are we in the light? May we be focused upon the situation at hand at this moment and come before You recognizing what Your Word says, that You've come for everyone. And everyone that will come into the light, You will reprove and correct and love and cherish and move them down the path. But everyone that refuses to stay in the darkness has condemned themselves. Oh God, may we come into the light this morning. Come before Your presence and say, "Yes, Jesus, take my issues, take my circle, take everything and make me Yours wholly and completely, that I can follow You, no longer walking in the darkness, but totally walking in the light of life." We thank You, we praise You, in Your great precious name. Amen.